Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here. I can officially tell you that they played three games in 2022 and in the league and in the cup.
Actually, four games, Adam.
Wow, four games already.
And they are still here to win. Life really is tough on the Ghana side of the world, on the Ghana's end right now. Well, on that note, good morning, everybody. It's always a pleasure to be here. Welcome to Central Forecast. Happy New Year from every one of us. We've missed you so much. And we are extremely sorry that I've not been able to be here in 2022, but here we are now. Michael, how are you feeling this morning?
I'm very well. Thank you. How are you feeling? And to audience, we've missed you so much. Happy New Year. I think this is the first time we're recording a program this year. So Happy New Year to all audience of Tetra Soccer. We thank you for holding it down, listening to us talk every week. Thank you, and we look forward to more exploits with you.
Well,
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I said last weekend was actually a beautiful one. I mean, from every single game, I enjoyed it, actually. From Friday night, we saw Brighton and Crystal Palace play out a 1-1 draw. New Mopé's assist for those who are in their FPL. Then, the one I wanted to see, the one everybody wanted to see, and the one everybody except Chelsea fans loved to see was their own homeboy, Kevin De Bruyne, was the one that came back to haunt them. One goal to nothing. Manchester City won that game against Chelsea at the Etihad, which means this season, 2021-2022 season, Manchester City have done the double over Chelsea. Both one goal scoreline, just 1-0, very, very slim. Gabriel Jesus at the Stamford Bridge and Kevin De Bruyne at the Etihad Stadium. Away from that one, it's looking like dark days are getting darker for the boys in black and white. Newcastle United are still not having it easy, even after new ownership and all the money being thrown around. They made two signings in Kieran Trippier and Chris Wood, but it's still not looking so simple for them, actually, on that side of the world. Newcastle played out a 1-1 draw to Watford, who struggled for about 80-something minutes of that game, and just one swift move, that cross and the header from João Pedro salvaged the point for Claudio Ranieri's boys. On the other hand, I can tell you that at the Molineux, James Ward-Prowse scored a worldie and a half, if you would call it that. That goal was extraordinary, but the goal could only be a consolation as they would end up losing and going back to the mid. They'll go back to the defense. And no point. Wolves won that game 3-1. Adama Traore finally scored again in the Premier League. Adama Traore, Raul Jimenez, and I believe Conor Kwadi was the third goal scorer for Wolverhampton Wanderers in that game. 3-1 at the Molineux, it ended. Jose Sa had extraordinary saves. He made as much as 9 saves in that game, which tells you so much. It means, yes, Southampton did their best, but Jose Sa, the goalkeeper for Wolverhampton Wanderers, did what needed to be done. Away from that one, the game that finally told us that Rafael Benitez would be sacked from Everton. The game that told us that Rafael Benitez would be sacked from Everton was when they lost to bottom side Norwich City. Norwich City, who has been, well, not so interesting to watch, but they still found a way around them. 2-1 in favor of Norwich City. Everton lost that game by 2-1. That confirmed that Rafael Benitez is no longer the manager of Everton. And at the moment, until they can find the proper replacement, they have an interim in Duncan Ferguson. Well, away from that,
you guys don't like to hear it, but Felipe, for 7 minutes of magic, the young man became the man of the match. Marita in a two-goal lead, Bruno Fernandes, 2 goals
in session, one in the first half, one in the first 10. Second one also, well, he scored early in the second half, and it looked like game set and match until Felipe Coutinho made his second Premier League debut for Aston Villa. And what do you know? A goal to actually clinch the equalizer, and he played a major part in the first goal that actually started the comeback. And what do you know? Villa could salvage a point from that one. 2-2.
Maybe the second one
for Aston Villa, and it was disappointment on the faces of the Manchester United players. Away from that one, Jack Harrison was the hero as he went to the London Stadium with Marcelo Bielsa's army, and 3-2. Jack Harrison's hat-trick. Well, at the end of the day, it looks like Jared Bowen still got a goal in that game, and 3-2 ended for Leeds from home at the London Stadium. maybe West Ham are running out of juice at the end of the day. We are yet to actually confirm that. Away from that one, Liverpool against Brentford ended 3-0. It means the absence of Mo Salah and Sadio Mane maybe doesn't actually say so much about this Liverpool side, because Takumi Minamino, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Andrew Robertson, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Roberto Firmino, and the likes like that. Away from that,
be a potential banana. This game, I argued with somebody and said,
Chelsea man,
actually slip up in this one.
And they did. The first leg, this second leg also. This. It was not enough.
And I will start clean.
Well, Adam's network is misbehaving once again.
Thank God it's Adam.
Again.
Every time you always get a network issue.
Wait, when is the next? I think we're having a match tomorrow now. She match don't do tomorrow. I think we'll go record for that side. Like,
so, but in the side. Match day tonight.
All right. I'm really, really sorry about that part, actually. So, yeah, back to the results, like I was saying earlier. Brighton and Chelsea played out a 1-1 draw, and I think we should actually dedicate a few seconds to actually discussing what is wrong in that Chelsea's camp right now. And that one. Also, we need to actually say a few words about Leicester City. Michael, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I said we might actually have to maybe dedicate a few seconds to Leicester City as well, because that also is also a house on fire. Either. And this happy about, Brentford 1, Manchester United 3. Bruno Fernandes got 2 assists for himself as goal for Anthony Elanga, 1 goal for Mason Greenwood. Finally, his first goal since October, and the third goal was scored by
Marcus Greenwood.
Marcus Rashford. Thank you very much. That's very, very
true.
Yeah. But we need to discuss what was Bruno Fernandes thinking when he was trying to chip the goalkeeper after that. After the goal,
I don't understand. I never understand. This is why I was ranting in a group chat that I'm in. Okay, this is the attitude that I've been demanding, that I've been saying needs to stop from United players, actually, because it's, I think, from Bruno, because I think Bruno is fond of that. Maybe in a comfortable goal line, and he sees a goal, he wants to score a spectacular. This is not the first time that Bruno would do such kind of, he would make such kind of, we like call it an error, or just playing, I don't have a word to describe that. I had no idea what was going on in his mind, but he wanted to score spectacular, and it came back to haunt him. What if we were actually losing?
Damola.
Michael.
I want to speak about that.
All right, follow me.
Okay, now the thing is, we can't blame Bruno for it. With most players, that would be. That okay, then they feel like okay, let's just try to go for the spectacular, let's try to do things that are otherworldly. It is not a Bruno, it's just not a Manchester United players thing. The thing is, if we are frank with ourselves, if we take it to the best teams, now I'm talking of Bayern Munich, I'm talking of Liverpool, these teams. They are still looking to grab goals. The best example is Bayern Munich and Manchester City. At new up, they still want to score. If it means basics, they don't need to you know, try to make it spectacular or something. But, you know, but at least we won. So, when the game was at 1-1.
Compared to what happened against us, that was a very, very big step up for Manchester United. Well, Richard, good morning. Yeah, I want you to discuss with me what is wrong with Thomas Tuchel's camp. I mean, forget the loss against Manchester City. They were outclassed from 1 to 90. But against Brighton and Hove Albion, you played twice. And guess what? You drew twice. Same scoreline. It was like a script just written at two different stadiums. What is going on with Thomas Tuchel? They've dropped 6 points in the last 11 games, which is extremely bad. They only have 3 wins in 11. What is going on at Chelsea?
To my opinion, Brighton wasn't really that bad because this season, Graham Potter's side should the 7th team or the 8th team when it comes to the definite formation, the compact move, and they keep on let's get together now. How Wolves did 2 years ago and Aston Villa and West Ham did last season. Also, I feel the number of injuries at the playing side of Thomas Tuchel and adapted just like what happened at Chelsea. They've adapted to that formation.
Well, I wish Chelsea better luck, but at this point, it's almost safe to say Chelsea are out of the title race. They just have to start praying for that top four finish if they can have. That's what it's looking like for Chelsea. Because, okay, looking at the league table. All right, sorry.
He's going to be the winner.
Ouch. All right, well, looking at the Premier League table right now, it's beginning to look like everybody's pulling clear already. It means we are beginning to see. I think we can almost all agree here that Manchester City are going to be champions because Manchester City have 56 points. They are 11 points clear of Liverpool, 45 points. But Liverpool have a game in hand, which means even if they are beginning to be as far as 8 points off Manchester City. Chelsea are third with 44 points. West Ham United are holding on to their fourth spot with fourth place. With 37 points. Then Tottenham Hotspur are fifth with 36 points. Sixth with 35. Level on points with Manchester United, who are in seventh with 35 points. On the bottom side, on the flip side of things, Norwich City are 18th with 13 points. Newcastle 19th with 12 points. Well, this one has to be said actually. Burnley are 20th with 11 points, but Burnley have as many as 6 games in hand, which means they might actually be pulling out of the relegation zone. Pulling out of the relegation zone very, very soon. And yes, Palumi, I want Leicester City. I don't understand the concept of what is going on with that club right now. Like, for example, you are leading 2-1 as late as 90+4. And you still end up losing that game with about 18 seconds to go. So, Steven Bergeron being spectacular, or was it just Leicester City being, well, I don't know what to define that as. What is wrong?
Adam.
Yes.
You know, I've said this. Leicester City's defense is useless. It's said some words, but that is, I can't say. But Leicester City's defense is rubbish. Now I saw the highlights. The game was at 2-2. And the goal that made it 3-2.
Yeah.
This team is very foolish. If you are playing 2-2 and then you lost it, then it's 2-2. Them to go, the best bet is to keep your shape. There are 6 players attacking and just fighting. So it made it so easy that just 1-2 and it's split. Team, I don't understand. I would never come to terms of understanding Leicester City's defense. They used personnel. Evans and Soyuncu. It was Evans and Soyuncu last season. Soyuncu the season before last season. And I can only say maybe they are missing Wesley Fofana. You know, Wesley Fofana like.
But even the Wesley Fofana, even the so-called Wesley Fofana that we are discussing here, is not. He's been out of this. He's been out of the shape since the beginning of the season. I mean, he has not been there from the very beginning, from the onset. He has not been there when they were winning games and actually keeping it compact at the beginning of the season when they were still actually grinding out the results. He was not there. So even now, I don't think Wesley Fofana's absence is actually. Are you trying to tell me that he's now maybe 5 months into the season Fofana?
Adam,
Michael, are you there?
Actually, yeah, I'm with you. Okay, so my honest assessment of what happened was that it's football. You know, football, you can never say it's over until it's actually over. And it splits any slight change in anything can just give you up, can make or mar your game. So that's what maybe I didn't watch the game, but maybe Leicester didn't keep their shape. Leicester were too maybe they were too ambitious in the last minutes because 90+4, they were still in the lead. And okay, let's see the game out. And I think even if Tottenham wanted to try as much as they could, the best they should have gotten out of the game was a draw. Draw. But okay, the Steven Bergwijn, will I say luck was on his side and his side actually played well? Well, I think that's the joy of football. That's what football like gives you.
On Leicester's defensive worries. Because, for example, I think, okay, I was arguing with I had a conversation briefly with a friend. And what he said was, these society players are looking like they're playing audition football. They're actually playing themselves to actually show they're bigger boys. And he said they are trying not to do the dirty work. They are trying to keep themselves clean so the bigger boys can beat for them and everything like that. I didn't exactly agree with that theory, but it was not exactly 100% wrong. So I don't know. All I know is at the moment, Brendan Rodgers has a lot of things to think about. And from their next game, something needs to change. Well, away from that one, looking at the other statistics, I can tell you that Mohamed Salah, even though he left for AFCON 2 weeks ago, he's still on top of the goal scorer standing. 6 points. Diogo Jota is second with 10 goals. Jamie Vardy, who is on a lengthy layoff, he still has about 4 or 5 weeks to go before we can actually see him back on the pitch. He has 9 goals and is third on the goal scorers list. On the assist table, actually, there has been a little change. Trent Alexander-Arnold is now outright first with 10 assists. Mohamed Salah is second with 9. Jarrod Bowen, Pogba are third. On the clean sheet rate, it looks like there's also beginning to be separation between men and boys because outright top, 2 ahead of his closest rival, Alisson Becker, 10 clean sheets. Clean sheets, and then the trio of Edouard Mendy, Jose, have 8 clean sheets to their names. On that note, we've come to the end of the first part. Let's go into the second part. And the very best of talking in Premier League game week number 24. We're back shortly. Welcome back to Tetra Soccer. I'm still your host with the most. My name remains Adam. And well, welcome back to the second part of the show where we all love so much, where we discuss, dissect, and analyze what is to come. Welcome to your weekly installment of the very best English and English football Premier League analysis you can find around. And let's quickly get into business because, well, time is fast spent. Friday night football is where we kick off. For those of my FPL players, do not forget, do not miss that deadline, 7:30 p.m. on Friday evening. Let's quickly get into it. Michael, good evening. Welcome back.
Good evening, Adam.
Yeah, so we are starting with Watford and Norwich City, which, well, is relegation battle, but at the same time, we don't want to dwell much on it, but let's quickly go into it. What do you see happening in this one?
I think that's the game between Watford and
Norwich City.
And Norwich City, okay, well. Norwich impressed in their last game. I think that was led to the sacking of this guy, the Everton coach.
Rafa Benitez.
Yeah, Rafa Benitez. Okay. Actually, bringing up any surprises in this game. Well, I think it's a win for Watford because Watford, you know, Dennis, they still have, I think, firepower on their hands. Well, they have Dennis, they have King, and well, they have a couple of players. Well, I see them edging Norwich City out, actually.
Well, hopefully they can. I'll be sitting on the fence, girl. I think that win against Everton might actually give Norwich the boost that they need to maybe take something away from that game. So I'm going to call it a draw. Do not forget, 9 p.m. on Friday is when the action starts. 9 p.m. on Friday is when that game kicks off. Now we come to, welcome to Saturday football, where some interesting things are going to be happening. Like, for example, we are starting at 1:30 p.m. and it's going to be Aston Villa against Everton at the Goodison Park. Everton just sacked their manager their previous manager in Rafa Benitez. We know that Duncan Ferguson is going to be taking over for the interim period before they can get a new coach. There's rumors saying when Rooney might be approached. There's rumors saying Frank Lampard. I even read something I would call a wild shot that said Ole Gunnar Solskjaer might actually be the one to take charge at the Goodison Park. But anyways, you look at it, you know that Felipe Coutinho is in town again, and considering his impressive Manchester United, you might actually not look past Aston Villa doing some magic against this Everton side. But do not forget, 1:30 p.m. on Saturday is when that one kicks off. From an Adam point of view, I'll probably tell you, well, Aston Villa can actually take the game. I'll say an Aston Villa win a draw. Because Felipe Coutinho is on high form, we know that Jacob Ramsey, Steven Gerrard has drilled that team, let me put it that way. Steven Gerrard has drilled that team to an extent where some things just happen and you're not surprised anymore. So yes, it could actually just work out for Aston Villa in that game. Then the next game is one I would love. Let me list out the 4 p.m. kickoffs, the goal rush on Saturday, 4 p.m. Manchester United against West Ham United, Leeds United against Newcastle United, Brentford against Wolverhampton Wanderers. But the one we need to actually dwell on for a few minutes or a few more seconds, the one that actually requires our attention, is Manchester United against West Ham United. This is two teams trying to battle their way into the top four, trying to finish in European sports for next season, most especially the UEFA Champions League. As it stands right now, West Ham are ahead of Manchester United. But, Michael, how do you see this one going, considering, well, it looks like the Ralf Rangnick wheel is finally turning in the right direction. But how do you see this one panning out between United and West Ham?
Okay, because from a United fan's point of view, you cannot predict this Manchester United. Sometimes they have a good game, some the next game they just go off like they haven't had any training. Well, West Ham too have been they've dropped a couple of points where they're supposed to have actually built on their momentum before they lagged behind as well and lost a couple of points. And this Manchester United side, they are hardly impressed with anybody. It's been said that Cristiano Ronaldo, well, even, I don't know if Cristiano Ronaldo will be very crucial to tomorrow's match because he's unlikely to be available for tomorrow's game. Because Rangnick said he had a head, I think, is it a head or a neck injury, something like that, and he's still been assessed. I don't know who to give this game to, actually. I don't know who to give it to. As a Manchester United fan, I hope Manchester United wins.
Of course, you would hope Manchester United win. I do not blame your sentiments right there. But, well, I can confirm to you that in availability news, Victor Lindelof, unfortunately, will not be available for the game tomorrow. It is confirmed already by the Manchester United camp that the young man's family his home was broken into with his wife and kids. I can't really confirm if he was already back at home after the Brentford game, but I doubt it. But you said that Victor Lindelof's home was broken into with his wife and kids in that house on Wednesday night while he was playing against Brentford. I can't confirm it was after the game or before. But
it was during the game, actually. I think during the game while he was playing.
So it is said that the young man would rather stay at his home and be with his wife and his kids in the meantime than actually be on the pitch for Manchester United. So you might be looking at a Varane and Maguire pairing at the back, at centre back pairing for Manchester United.
We are going to concede.
Well, hopefully they can save David De Gea's shambles in that game, actually. I really don't think they're that bad yet, but we hope to see how it goes. Well, away from that one, Leeds against Newcastle, it looks like an easy call. I think we can all say Leeds United are looking to actually restore some parity into their team form. Newcastle, with all their buying and buying, have not been so impressive. But at the same time, I still think a clear winner would emerge from that game. For Brentford against Wolverhampton Wanderers, I would say Brentford need to step it up one way or the other. Their last two games have been extremely shambolic, and they are coming to meet a Wolverhampton Wanderers side who are high on confidence after that win against Southampton. For the Brentford side, they've lost against Liverpool, they've lost against United in very, very, very disappointing fashion. 6 goals considered in those 2 matches, 3 in each, and 1 goal scored, which is extremely poor. But on the Wolverhampton Wanderers side of things, they just defeated one of the teams I actually respect the most, Southampton. And although James Ottawa scored a world in that kick, in that game, but we still have to discuss it and say Adama Traore, Raul Jimenez, and Conor Kouadi were enough to actually do the job. So yes, if Wolverhampton Wanderers can keep that up, and do not forget Jose Sa is a goal for the Wolverhampton Wanderers side, which means it's going to be very, very hard for them to actually, for Brentford, if they keep on with their finesse football and not actually get their shots right. But in that game, I'm tipping Wolves, actually. If I'm going to be honest with myself, I'll say Wolverhampton win or draw. But at the same time, it's at the Brentford Community Stadium. So who knows? Maybe Brentford can use the home advantage to themselves. Now we discuss the final kickoff on Saturday evening, 6:30 p.m. It's a game I want to watch. It's a game I think everybody would want to watch. It's a game, a potential banana peel for Manchester City as they travel to the St. Mary's to face Southampton. It might not be much of a contest. In depth. It's something that can actually shock. For the others that are chasing them. But Michael, let me get against. Getting some action in the lunch.
Well, welcome to Sunday Premier League football. Probably one of the best days to actually enjoy Premier League football, if you ask me. Crystal Palace against Liverpool, Arsenal against Burnley, Leicester City against Brighton, all at 3 p.m. on Sunday. And finally, the biggest game of the game week, Chelsea against Tottenham Hotspur, is at 5:30 on Sunday evening. But that's not the end of the game week. There is another extra game, Burnley against Watford, has been rescheduled for February 5th, which is about another 10-11 days after Sunday's derby. But we are still going to enjoy it anyway. So let's quickly see what we can do about these games. Well, Palace against Liverpool. In my own personal opinion, I would say Crystal Palace have done well for themselves this season. They've shown that, yes, they can actually be trouble for anybody that comes against them. But this Liverpool side, on the other hand of things, although, yes, they've lost Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah, they are still not slowing down. I mean, look at them against Brentford. They pushed Brentford aside. You can as well say, yes, Brentford are not exactly the strongest side to face with your weak team. I mean, Manchester United did it, but they needed their strong team to do it. This Liverpool side came in with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and the likes. But it looks like Arnold, Robertson, and Bobby still have it under control. Jordan Henderson is still fantastic in the middle of the park, so Liverpool might still not have any issues dispatching Crystal Palace. Although, if Liverpool are not careful, Sam Gallagher, Edward, and the likes are to pounce. So it's still going to be interesting to actually see how it pans out for this game, actually. But at the end of the day, you can almost say it's almost certain that Liverpool will take no less than a point away from it if you leave it to the way it's supposed to be on paper. Liverpool will take no less than a point away from it. If any slip-ups would happen, Palace at best get a draw. And away from that one, Arsenal against Burnley is our next game at 3 p.m. Arsenal against Burnley looks like a certain game where you will almost say Arsenal will have it, but then you look at the game and be like, Burnley exactly are no pushovers. Burnley have a major miss right now, which they are not able to replace at the moment, and that would be Chris Wood. They sold Chris Wood to Newcastle, but at the end of the day, you can almost say that Burnley themselves, even without Chris Wood, I'm not sure they are in their most balanced form. Let's put it like that. Arsenal, on the other hand, will be without Granit Xhaka and Thomas Partey, which is bad news for if you're an Arsenal fan, because you are looking at it and being like, who is going to hold the midfield exactly for this team? Well, if I was at Arteta, I'll be looking at it as a 4-1-4-1, which means Tomiyasu is back in defense. Kieran Tierney will also partner as the left wing back. Then in the center of the park, you're using your normal Gabriel and Ben White as center back partnership. Then you come to the middle where I think Albert Sabi Lokonga will be getting the minutes in this one. Albert Sabi Lokonga might actually be the one DMF you would use. And then there will be another four in front of him, which is the quadruple of Odegaard, Saka, Martinelli, and Alexander Lacazette. Or rather, would I say Odegaard, Saka, Smith Rowe, and Alexander Lacazette. And then Martinelli will be top striking. Or Martinelli will be playing as the attacking midfielder. And then Alexander Lacazette will be the top striker. So yes, anyhow, Arsenal play it out. They should be able to dispatch Burnley anyhow they see fit. But at the same time, we know this Burnley team are not exactly no pushovers. Jay Rodriguez is still in that team, as well as Ashley Barnes, which means if Arsenal are not careful on the set pieces, they might still get hurt. Charlie Taylor and Dwight McNeil will definitely be delivering the crosses and hope that one of those guys can actually connect with their heads. But at the end of the day, I think Arsenal should actually have what it takes to actually take 3 points. And plus, they do need all 3 points from this game from the way it's standing on the Premier League table. They can't afford slip-ups right now. They need to actually keep up with the boys if they're actually going to make the top four. And if they win against Burnley, they actually get back in the mix. If West Ham United, they get back into the top four, if West Ham United lose that game. So they might actually want to take their chances on that one. And finally, on Sunday's 3 p.m. kickoffs, we have Leicester City against Brighton and Hove Albion. This Leicester City side are not exactly convincing. Then there's the Brighton and Hove Albion side who have drawn 11 times this season. So, yes, you might actually not think past the draw if you would ask me, actually. I'm not going to think past the draw in this game, actually. This Brighton side creates a million chances and end up scoring just one or two, which is actually not good enough. They really, really need to work on their conversion. Very great goal from Danny Welbeck in one of the goals last season that I remember seeing over the course of the week. Danny Welbeck is there, Neil Maupay is there, they have Leandro Trossard, Adam Webster is coming from the back, so I actually get the headers in. And the likes like that. I mean, Tyrek Lamptey still shows that he's still one of the best around to actually take your defense on one-on-one, get the cross in, and actually do something good with it. But at the end of the day, this Brighton side need that final touch because they can get the balls in, but they can't actually convert. On the Leicester City hand of things, Brendan Rodgers has a million headaches to worry about. Is it the team? Is it the lack of a defensive midfielder? Is it the lack of Iheanacho and Vardy? Is it the defense that is not working? There's a million things you can actually question about the Leicester City side, but something needs to change. Something needs to change badly. Harvey Barnes maybe should actually get a starting berth. James Maddison, Youri Tielemans, these guys need to actually step up one way or the other. And Brighton and Hove Albion might actually provide that quality test before you actually go against the big boys. I mean, yeah, they showed great spirits in their game against Manchester City, but in their last game against Tottenham Hotspur, it was very, very disappointing. I have to confess, I did not like it one single bit. It was very, very disgusting. The word I used on the radio when I was analysing this game amongst my peers. So Leicester City need to step up and hopefully they can get something out of it. Unfortunately, they're still going to be without Kelechi Iheanacho, they're still going to be without Jamie Vardy, they're still going to be without Wilfred Ndidi. But I think what they have on ground right now should still be more than enough to actually dispatch a Brighton and Hove Albion side if they put their soul into it. Finally, I get to talk about the big one, Chelsea against Tottenham Hotspur. Like I mentioned, this game has been played twice in the League Cup and it was a 2-0 win and a 1-0 win for Chelsea in both legs. Chelsea will be playing in the final against Liverpool on February 27th in the EFL, in the English Football League Cup on February 27th at Wembley in the finals. But this time around, this is a London derby. This is a league game where all these things are, all your form, all your statistics are thrown into the mud easily. So, well, if Tottenham can actually step it up, and so far, Antonio Conte has an unbeaten record in the league. So, will Chelsea be the party spoilers for him? We are yet to find out. We are yet to see. But I really, really hope he can keep it going. And for some reason, I think, yes, he would actually find out what is. He would have actually seen what happened in the League Cup games. See what he actually needs to change. Who knows? Maybe Steven Bergeron, their hero, might actually be starting that game against Chelsea. And this Chelsea side, of recent in the league, we can tell that they are very, very shambolic. So, yes. Tottenham might actually take advantage of that. The likes of Steven Bergeron, Giovanni Lo Celso. So Harry Kane might actually be somebody who can actually make a difference. Yes, he's not been spectacular in the league. I would not resist that one, but he might actually be that guy who steps up because London derbies are his thing. We can tell against Arsenal, against Leicester City. He comes alive against Chelsea as well. So Harry Kane, Giovanni Lo Celso, Steven Bergeron, their hero, might actually be the one to start that game. and with the right setup, with the right system, maybe Antonio Conte would have picked up a few things from the West Ham win against Chelsea, from the Man City win against Chelsea, from the Brighton draw against Chelsea, maybe pick a few things from his losses against Chelsea in the League Cup as well. Maybe pick up a few things, see what he can actually do, change, and actually make something happen for his team in this very, very exciting Premier League clash. So it is what it is. But at the end of the day, I think the goals might actually be there. Maybe both teams will score, and maybe a goal and 2.5 option might actually be what actually works for these guys in this final game. But at the end of the day, one thing I can tell you is that yes, this game is going to be as interesting as they can get. Do not forget that over the weekend as well, Nigeria, our very, very dear own motherland, Nigeria, my country, Nigeria, my motherland, I am a patriotic Nigerian, and I put my hand on my chest right now to say that. 3 wins in 3 in our league, in our group games at the AFCON, and we are going to be facing Tunisia over the weekend as well. On Sunday evening, 5 p.m. on Sunday evening, do not miss that game. It is against Tunisia. And yes, because I'm a patriotic Nigerian, and with the way we've played so far, yes, I think Nigeria can actually also take Tunisia to the cleaners and actually brush them aside from the round of 16 and actually, well, proceed into the quarterfinals. And, well, the Super Eagles have actually played so good for themselves. So, actually, maybe this is actually one they actually need to win. They do need to win the game. I wish them the very best of luck. I wish every single team. Well, speaking of double gaming for my fantasy managers, Watford have a second game against Burnley. It's quite enticing, actually. But the last time Watford had a double game week, I captained Emmanuel Dennis. It did not end so good for him. But maybe this time around, maybe it actually would. They have Burnley as well as Watford. Watford have Burnley in their second game, February 5th. Their first game is against Norwich City tonight. So that's two bottom place teams that Watford have to play. So if Watford can actually get their goings right, who knows? Maybe 6 points out of 6 for Claudio Ranieri and his boys. But at the end of the day, it's going to be an interesting matchup anyhow you look at it. And do not miss any of the excitement that comes with the English Premier League this weekend. Have a lovely weekend ahead. Enjoy the games. And don't forget it. It's going to be a big blast. Enjoy it.